Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with international marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
Wild with delirious joy. They've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
Indeed. I am, of course, your host, the one, the only Mark Unger. Joining me is always the ever lovely and charming Diane Brierley. All prettied up today. And, of course, the amazing Ross Allen Skorshevsky. Engineering the show as always, the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray. Engineer extraordinaire, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during the production of this incredibly boring show. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at askask@markgunger.com. This is a show about answering people's emails. This is how the show works. You get to stay totally anonymous. We are brutally honest. That is the premise of the show. This is a show of brutal honesty, insensitivity, not really caring how you feel about anything. So if you have really sensitive emotional boo-boos all over your arms, don't email us, all right? For heaven's sakes. And everybody should know, those who listen to the show, that the people who do email, they know what
they're
we're going
for
to.
They're forewarned.
We tell them, and we after they email, we warn them again. Are you sure you want us? Because we're going to be, we want to know what you think. Okay. So that's the premise of the show. So don't get all freaked out. Listen, how about we just start telling people the truth? Now, the Bible says do it in love, but we don't know these people. This is all.
We don't have to love you.
We don't have to love you. We don't know who you are.
Listen, people, these two are incapable of loving anyone.
Oh, come
on. You're coming to them expecting any sort of love and compassion.
We love. We're
first of all,
you're drinking from the wrong well.
I'm the most compassionate out of the three of us.
Actually, Ross is probably the most compassionate of the three.
I know this for a fact. We don't have to argue this matter. Anymore now, do we?
You sounded just like Jace Robertson.
I know, I'm trying to perfect that.
You sounded like Jace.
I love that show. The Duck Dynasty. Best show on television.
I love
Indeed.
That show.
The best show on television. Wonderful, wonderful people. You know what it is? They're Christian people, mm-hmm. faith-based people, but they're funny and they're real.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they talk in ways, you know, even the old grandpa talking to kids about sex and stuff. I mean, it's hilarious. That's the way life should be. Not this prudish, stupid, plastic, you know, ultra-conservative, ridiculous version of Christianity where people are so anal. They can't talk about anything. They can't even say anal.
Yep.
We can't talk about sex because apparently Christians don't have sex.
I love the one where he's razzing on his grandsons. They're out fishing in a boat and they wouldn't talk. They wouldn't strike up a conversation to save. And all of a sudden the grandpa looks at them both and says, you all need to go down to Walmart and pick yourself up a personality.
Yeah.
It's a great show. They always end with prayer on the show.
Yep.
It's a great, fabulous show. Yep. Check it out. Okay.
Okay. Little article today says a landmark study that spanned over 70 years suggests that the key to a healthy, long life is a happy marriage, owning a puppy, and hanging on to a group of good friends.
Ha!
Ah. There's a reason why I got a dog. We weren't happy until we had the dog. Those cats.
That's the cat. They didn't say anything about cats. They said it's a dog.
At our longevity.
It's a dog, not
dogs
a cat.
Are too much work. But go ahead.
They followed 300 Harvard grads, apparently, and a common thread that kept the men happy and thriving was a happy relationship. Only 4 of the 31 men in the study who remained single were still alive. At the end of the 70 years. Only 4 of the 31 single guys. The rest of them all perished.
Their wives killed them.
No. They were never married.
Single guys died earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Which studies have showed that for some time now.
Yep.
Single, that's a good way to a short life, especially for men.
Yes.
Not so much for women, but for men. The most dangerous thing a man can do statistically is to remain single. They say it's the equivalent of smoking 2.5 packs of cigarettes a day. It really shortens their life.
The ones
having a wife actually lengthens your life for a variety of reasons.
Yeah. A third of them were alive even into their 90s, the ones that had...
Who married?
He said companions, I'm assuming spouses. Yeah. And the single guys all died.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They said having a loving family is terribly important from the ages of 70 to 90. So you still have a few years. You can work on that loving family thing, Mark.
If I can
better
just,
have it right by the time you hit 70.
One. I got to find a loving family, but I have time.
You do?
You still have time.
I got a good 12 years before I find one. All right.
They noted that owning a pet dog, for example, boosts your physical and mental well-being. Animals also keep your immune system strong while having to daily walk the dogs, apparently. Ups your exercise, and that's good for you. So the dog,
they slobber all over
the family, and the marriage. You don't have a dog.
Hey,
you have
it gives
a cat.
You a reason to take a bath cats. Or a shower.
It gives you, yes,
that's
back,
right.
back to the
back
shower.
Back to the shower.
Interesting. You know, actually, the key to people, women want to know the key to having a successful relationship, get a dog. And the same rules that it takes to train a dog are the same rules it takes to succeed with a man.
Yeah.
It's very funny, you know.
It's over and over. And over constant
no, but reaffirmation,
praise,
hugging,
yes,
good boy, come on, yeah. Spend time, you know.
But it's just habitual. It's
don't
routine.
Do that. Don't do that. Yeah, if he does something wrong, you start, you know. Yes.
But you know, the thing that's funny is that I know people who don't have patience with a dog. They don't do well training their dog. They get mad that the dog has to be trained or told over again. And why do they keep doing the same stuff? And they're also the ones that are so irritated the same way in their marriages.
Isn't it funny?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
That explains a lot now for my current situation.
It sounds like a little dog. Those little yippy dogs.
Yip.
Anyway.
So if you can handle it and get it straight with a dog and you can transfer that to your husband, you're all good.
I wonder if it works the same way for women.
How's that?
Training them the same way? I don't know.
If you treated me as well as you treat the dog.
I don't know. I don't know, for some reason it does for a guy. If you'll treat a guy like you would treat a dog, you treat like man like a dog, actually, that's advantageous. It would be good. What you guys need to tell your wife is, you need to start treating me like a dog. Because
some
they're
of them
not,
get more affectionate.
Or even cats, you know.
Oh, good Lord.
My wife will walk in, hi, baby, you pick up the pet the cat and cuddle the cat. Say, man, I was a
none
cat.
Of that.
A lot of women could say the same thing because a lot of men treat their dogs better than they treat their wives.
Spend more
time with their dogs than
they
do their wives. Talk to their dogs more than they talk to their wives.
I pay attention to the dog too because it listens. It does what I want it to do.
And it doesn't talk back.
That's right. If I throw something, it retrieves it.
It doesn't say, you pick up your own stupid stick.
That's right.
See? I don't know. Anyway.
See ya.
You can't go anywhere. You're stuck on the show.
Golly, it's just the anti-He-Man woman haters club here again today. What the heck?
No, it's not.
You brought
I'm
it to
sure
the table.
The truth is, people do show more compassion toward their animals than they do to each other. And if people would just be as nice to their people as they are to their animals. That's why in this study they're saying it's interesting that people that do have animals actually do have longer lasting relationships, because I think what they do is they do start connecting those dots that
you
I
think
need.
So
yeah that's what's implied in the study. So anyway, there you have it. We will come back now with your emails and see if we can help you along those lines right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
This podcast is being brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of audiobooks with over 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction and nonfiction. This show is nonfiction. As well as periodicals. But some dude, so somebody must have that says living, he just reads these books. I'd like to do that.
Oh, you're just like the voiceover guy.
Yeah, you're the voiceover.
No.
So you sit there and read into a microphone an entire magazine? Wow. Wow. I guess it pays the bills. Anyway, what's good is for those of us who don't have time to read, someone else is reading it for us. And you can get all this information in you by listening as you drive around. In fact, most of the people who listen to the show. are listening to us as they drive around. Hopefully we don't cause any accidents. Anyway, for those of you who listen to the show, if you'll go to audiblepodcast.com/gunger, you can get a free book that you can download. Boom, just like that. Free. It's free, people. You can't get any cheaper than free. Try it out. See what it's like. It's kind of neat because you can, in addition to listening to this show, if you have longer commutes, you can listen to, again, magazines or books or fiction, nonfiction, whatever. Anyway, go to audiblepodcast.com/gunger. audiblepodcast.com/gunger. In other words, pull over to the side of the road right now. Pull out your phone and go to audiblepodcast.com/gunger. No, you better not do that because you'll get a ticket. You know you get in trouble if you just pull over?
Just for hanging no reason? On the side, huh?
No, whatever.
You can.
It's got to be like a major, major reason.
I didn't know that.
Because I'm going to pull over because I'm lost. That's before the GPSs. You pull over, the cop comes up. Minneapolis, that's where. Sir, you can't just pull over. Really? I don't know where I am. isn't it better to pull over? But yeah. Apparently, and anyway, so don't pull over. But when you do have time, go to audiblepodcast.com/gunger. Do it today.
Well, it messed up my mind. It made me feel so mean.
Diane's gonna be the evil eye over here.
Everybody
with women. They don't even have to say it. They just look at you. When they get really ticked.
Oh, I wasn't really ticked. I was feigning.
Feigning ticked. Even the feigning is frightening.
It's good to know.
You're listening to the Mark Gunger Show with Ross, Mark, and the scary lady, Diane.
Okay. Starting off, this is not actually a question, but it's a comment.
It's Diane!
I'll get you my pretties. I wish I could, my voice could go as high as yours, but that could mean a couple of things.
And your little dog, too!
Well, there's so many things I could say right now, and I'll just keep them all inside.
That's all right. You know, just
filter.
Diane,
restraint.
Nancy, you'll have to edit out all your...
all my comments, restraint, self-control.
Bleep, 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 bleep,
okay.
Bleep, bleep.
A lady's writing. Apparently, she watched a show when we were talking about a study that said there were less divorces when the wives do the housework. I don't know.
Yes, I remember that.
Remember that? Okay,
yes.
So she says,
I thought that was
possible
brilliant.
Answer to your question about why that is.
Okay.
She said, we wives are OCD. We have a specific way of doing our tasks. Husbands do not do it in the way that we like it.
Uh-huh.
So it's just easier for us to do it the way that we like it.
And we're all for that.
Probably most wives recognize this and accept it. I used to try to train my dragon, train my husband, to do chores my way. But he would get offended when she would try to train him. So now I accept his help with all knowledge that I might have to refold the towels and rearrange the dishes as soon as he's done. There are certain chores that I won't even think about asking his help with, actually, like washing and drying clothes. The selections on the dials are just too much for him, and he doesn't read clothing labels. He also usually doesn't recognize chores to be done until I ask him, and she's figured that out, which I have also gotten over thanks to your wonderful guidance.
I love this lady.
If I want something done, I ask each time without the Queen of Harpies attitude.
Nice.
He usually does it without
complaints.
She says he usually does it without complaint, but when he does complain, I do the Mark says and what Mark says, and I barter with a comment like, so, do you want to have sex anytime soon? The requested chore usually gets done promptly. Of course, the complaint and the barter are usually done in fun. People, usually
they're
done
in fun.
Hear this loud and clear, because as soon as people hear that, they think you're being manipulative.
You know, the people who get upset about what I say, they're creepy people. I mean, ugh. This is your life?
Yes.
Everything is like big,
fun,
heavy, nasty, you know. You can't barter for... Really?
I know.
How about you lighten up a little bit? Ugh. I'm so glad I didn't marry any of those women.
Hallelujah.
Concludes by saying, I'm still listening after 3 years or so and still laughing my backside off listening to all of us, I guess. Keep it up. I tell everyone about your show or repeat something that you say, but I think I lose something in the translation because others don't think it's as funny as I do. Imagine that.
Yeah, there's a great many things we say that are lost in translation.
Yeah, there's a lot that you see, blah, 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 and they just stare at you like, I guess you had to hear Mark say
that. You have to be seriously deranged to listen to the show, or so confident in your own abilities and who you are as an individual, you don't care about what others think.
I think we attract seriously deranged people.
I think I spend every day in a room with two people who are seriously deranged.
Mm-hmm. We love this lady. What a nice lady. All right.
Okay, here's the first serious question. She says, Dear Ross, Mark, and Diane, I love your show with lots of exclamation points.
Ooh.
Since my husband and I found the show online, we watch it every day. her question.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Jesus said the only reason for a divorce is adultery. But my question is, how then should a woman deal with domestic violence in her marriage?
Leave. Separate.
Yes.
Look, nobody is a bigger advocate of separation than me. I'm a major, major, big advocate of separation. You don't have to stay. But what thing gives you the right to now divorce him, go date some other guy and start having sex with somebody else? I mean, stop it. You don't have to put up with that. So, well, now I'm stuck. Well, yeah. That's why you should have been thinking before you got... See, people, they don't want to live with their consequences. That's their problem. They can't stand the fact that they made a lousy decision. And sometimes you make a lousy decision. They do. It happens all the time. Women will do it. Men will do it. You know, the Bible says, talks to these guys who marry these just really nasty women who just, you know, are constantly on their butts all the time about stuff. They walk in the house, that's all they hear is,
do this! Don't do that! What's the matter?
You know, the Bible says, better to live on the corner of a roof than in the house
contentious.
With one of these, you know, crazy chicks that are just... But it doesn't say you can divorce them.
Can I ask a question?
So if you're getting beat, if you're, you know what, there's a gazillion reasons, in my opinion, that you would separate. But it doesn't give you a green light for divorce. And quite frankly, it's usually the separation that will force the change that will save the marriage. Yes, ma'am.
Do you think that most of the time people who end up in these domestic violence situations, that there were red flags, there were warning signals? I mean, the vast majority of the time, I don't think that it's like all of a sudden he was Mr. Wonderful, although some guys can do that.
Uh-huh. I think the vast majority of people who are in lousy marriages saw it coming and they were just blind.
And men too, because shrews of wives.
Yeah,
these guys, come on.
These single guys, when you're dating this girl and she's this real needy, whiny, kind of dark, good grief. Are you out of your ever-loving mind? Dump her and move on. But she's really good looking. And nobody's that good looking. Okay. Nobody. I remember one time when I was first starting to work with couples. This guy comes in. He's got this drop-dead, gorgeous bombshell of a blonde wife. You know, I'm thinking, whoa, this boy scored. But then you get to know him. And she was always, la, 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 la. And I remember thinking one day, looking at her, and I thought, oh, Lord, ain't nothing worth that.
It ain't worth it.
She's not that good. Nobody is that good looking to live with that. Do you guys see that stuff? Run for your lives. These women, you see these guys acting badly. What do you think you're going to get? And overwhelmingly on this show, we ask women all the time, was he like that before you married him?
And are you having sex with him?
Oh, well, that's the problem. They start having sex, then everybody
gets
stupid. And you're not
stuck together.
Exactly. That's why you should not be having sex with someone when you're dating them, because it makes you stupid. Absolutely stupid.
I need to wear a jacket more often because I feel moments of brilliance come on a lot quicker.
That's what it is. It's
like
the jacket,
you know,
baby.
It's the jacket.
It's that, got that jacket anointing on you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, I was thinking of the show. What was that show with the vampires? Twilight Saga? Okay. Okay, the love interest, the girl in this series. Dark, whiny, self-centered.
I don't know how people like those movies.
And these guys are all hot for her. I'm thinking, seriously? I'd want to take a fork and start pulling my eyes out being around a chick like this. And these guys, and first of all, she's not even that good looking.
No.
Good grief. I don't get the attraction in that thing at all.
I don't get
She's not that good looking of a chick in the first place. And, you know, I don't know if in real life she is. But, and then all this dark moody stuff, and these vampire guys. Well, I guess when you're dead, you don't think anymore. So, if you're not a vampire, use your brain. If you're a vampire, you get the whiny chicks. There you go. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more emails right after this.
Want more of Mark? Visit markgunger.com. There you will find everything that Mark has to offer.
He said it's just a trend, just something he's gonna do.
Just in case you wanted to know.
Nope. Sometimes it's way too much information and enough during the breaks on this show. Sing it, Jimmy. Come on. Bring it up.
This man has gone, my friends. We like you much better the way you used to be.
Yeah, come on.
Just one of us living in misery. I was blind, but now I see.
Grab your wife, give us our dancing. enough of that. Hopefully, if you're driving, you didn't start dancing, because then you'd have a wreck. You're listening to The Mark Unger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships.
Bless you.
Yeah. That's Nancy sneezing in the background. Jimmy Bratcher. Check out his music, jimmybratcher.com. Great friend of mine.
Jimmy I.E.
One of my best friends in the world. You know how who becomes best friends are people who are still my friends after knowing me.
The ones that actually stick around for more than a couple of years?
Yeah. They don't usually last very long. It's really sad. We got all these old pictures and stuff like that. Oh, we get all those guys. We don't see us anymore. Oh, we don't talk to them
but
anymore.
It's not like
they
desperately try to keep them.
They get rid. No, they get rid of us.
I know, but they're concerned.
You know what the problem is they come in with these huge expectations because I'm Mark Unger, and he's funny all the time.
You keep the bar
and
really
he's the pastor,
low.
So he's clearly a spiritual man. And every second, you know, and then you add normal, then they're just they're so disappointed, and then they get mad at you. And
it's keep the bar really low. It's funny because when people like come into our world, you know, Laugh Your Way or whatever, and they have that, and I see that. And I always try to head it off and say, just so you know, I don't want you to be disappointed, you know, if you're around him and he's this and that, because people have gotten their feelings hurt. And, you know, just because you see it. You see the train wreck
Nancy
coming
still
at
loves
you.
Me. She's known me forever.
So.
And she still likes me. That's how you know. Those are the people you want to surround yourself with.
The ones that actually still like you when they really
you
know you.
Same with Timmy. Timmy,
lots of
Timmy was a teenager when we first met him. So was Nancy.
So was I.
Diane was... was 8 years old when we first met her.
Oh, good grief. You guys are so afraid of your old age.
I embrace it, Ross. Come on.
All right, what do you got?
Okay, she says, I have a question regarding my grandfather. He is 67 years old and has been married 3 times.
Ugh.
Currently, he is living with a 30-year-old woman that he's not married to.
67?
Yes, he's 67, she's 30.
This is what we've said.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
They go back to the younger gene pool.
This is really younger.
But these chicks are desperate at this point.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen to you girls. They go wait so long to get married. You're going out with some geezer.
Yeah, 67.
they don't understand. I warn them all the time. These women, and I always feel bad for them because they've listened to their churches who tell them to wait for Mr. Perfect, you know, whatever that is. So they're in their mid-30s and they finally start, oh, I need to start getting serious. And all the guys their age, they also finally start waking up, but when they decide to get married, they don't marry the girls that are in their 30s. They jump back in the 20-year-old pool. So these girls are hanging out there. They're 30s and 40s, yeah. And they wind up with these guys at 67.
Apparently, this one was married before. She was married and had 3 kids. She's Russian, so I don't know if she came here like as a mail-order bride kind of a thing, and then that didn't work out. And her husband left her and whatever. So she's 30, picked up with the 67-year-old grandfather.
But... even though that doesn't apply here,
yes.
That is what happens
that is what
with
happens,
these girls.
Yes.
They just stay single.
Yes. The entire situation makes my family very uncomfortable. And since she has moved in, most of us have distanced ourselves from him. Mm-hmm. Every time I see him, he gives me a guilt trip about how come I never call or come to visit. I'm just not comfortable in their home or around her in general.
Does she tell him that?
He says that they're going to get married, but this girl has no place to go. It upsets the family. It upsets him that the family has stopped coming around, which I understand, but I don't know what to do. What's your opinion? She doesn't want her kids around them as role models.
Just tell him. Why do you guys got to make a big drama over that? What's the matter with people?
If you listen to the rest of what I'm saying.
What's the matter with people? It's very simple.
She says it pains her to see, but what should she do? He's a very emotional man and prone to crying and depression.
Good.
So she's afraid.
Good. No, quit being afraid.
Him.
I'm sick of this. These people, you know why most people won't do the right thing?
Because they're afraid.
Oh, I can't confront him. This will happen. Or this will happen. I don't know. I can't leave my husband because then we'll all die. I got to have all these reasons why people can't do the right thing because they're afraid. All you got to do is be very simple with the old geezer, and say, which actually is not very old. No. 10 years older than me. Is say, Dad, we don't come over because you're a fornicator. Okay? Everything you're doing is wrong. You're living in a way that's wrong. Okay? At a minimum, make it right. Do something respectable. You're going to be with the girl, at least marry the girl. Then we'll start showing up. We're not going to show up when you're sitting there having sex with some girl half your age.
Caution. The Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
Back on the Mark Unger, back on the Mark Unger Show. Mark Unger with Diane Brierley, Ross Allen Skorzewski, lovely Nancy and Timmy pushing buttons here to answer your questions about love, marriage, and relationships. So this lady emails us. What do I do with my dad? He's 67
it's
years old.
Her grandfather.
Grandfather.
It's her grandfather.
It's her grandfather.
Yes.
And he's having sex, living with some chick who's 30 years old. He's 67. Mm-hmm. She's a girl. So what do I do? I'll make him cry. So what if he cries? Mm-hmm. You know what? That's all the more reason to confront him. Make him cry. Make him feel bad. I don't know what is in this culture. Everybody's afraid of making people feel bad.
Well, she's afraid that she's going to send him into this deeper depression because apparently
stinking blah.
Has issues. You know, like kind of when you yell at your brother and tell him to get out and to get a job, and then he ends up taking your house hostage and the police.
It's not like the guy's a man of faith, though. So what's the big deal?
Check it out. So the rest of the email is
she
what?
She says he is a Christian and has been for 40 plus years, and him and the 30-year-old woman attend church together regularly.
Okay, so this is what drives me. I don't know what drives me crazy. I don't know what version of Christianity people subscribe to. But I would assume when one claims to be a Christian, they would follow the teachings of, I don't know, Christ. So these guys, they're living in sin.
Well, and he's divorced three women.
Three women already.
Picked up with this one before he was even divorced from the third one.
He's a good churchman. He may go to church, but he's not a good Christian in any way, shape, or form. Listen, if he's a sensitive guy, all the more reason. That means you don't have to be that harsh. Because it doesn't take that. Some people, you got to really be strong before they get it. The good news is he's very sensitive. He said, Grandpa, we're not going to come over because you're living like a pig. And you're doing what is disgusting. And you know it's wrong. You say you're a Christian grandpa. You go to church. You know what you're doing is wrong. That's why we don't. That's all you got to do. No. That's all you got to do. Not hate him. Say, we love you. But we're not coming over if you keep living this way. It's very, very simple. Then let him cry his little eyeballs out. Maybe he'll repent. I'm scared to death of making people feel bad. No wonder people don't do the right thing. You listen to preachers on TV. Well, you know, God loves you just the way you are. You don't have to feel bad. God loves you just the way you are. What a bunch of heresy. God doesn't love you just the way you are. God loves you despite the way that you are. He loves you, but stop living this way. But we can't tell people that.
How are you a 40-year Christian and that you don't get divorcing,
three
and fornicating?
Is not
on God's list of things that are okay. How do you attend a church? Like, how do you do that?
Clearly the man
just
is
ask
a
him.
Narcissist.
Just asking.
Three times. Three women weren't good enough for him. He married them, lived with them, and then dumped them. And now he's with the 30-year-old Russian chick, who's obviously desperate for, and probably based on her circumstances, she's over in this country, you know, who knows?
Possibly.
So she's desperate, so she's willing to be with geezer boy.
Yeah.
And, you know, he doesn't even have the courtesy to at least marry her.
Well, what kind of a rush is it to a 67-year-old guy that maybe some pretty 30-year-old Russian girl wants?
Are you kidding?
I'm sure that just sends him over the moon.
I'm sure it makes him feel wonderful. But he's a Christian. Stop it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Grandpa wants everybody to come on. No, Grandpa, we won't. Why? You're a fornicating pig.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we love you, but you're a pig of a man, and you're really, you're better than this. Mm-hmm. You're disappointing your grand, I'm your granddaughter, you're disappointing me, and you need to stop. And if it makes him cry, make him cry. People, you know, the Bible talks about godly sorrow that brings repentance. The sorrow should bring repentance. But we're afraid of having people get sorrowful, so we do everything we can so people don't feel bad. Even preachers don't want people to feel bad, and then we're surprised because nobody repents. Why? Because we've removed sorrow. You know, some sorrow's okay. Okay? What he's doing is wrong. He should feel bad. If you are a 67-year-old guy who's been through three women, and now, and you're going to church this whole time, and now you're shacking up with some 30-year-old chick, you should feel terrible! And that's all I got to say about that.
Pain and consequences are a great motivator to change you.
You know, if it weren't for pain, you wouldn't live very long.
This is true.
There's people who have diseases that where they can't feel pain.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very, very dangerous for them. They'll be eating chicken, and they won't know they're chewing their tongue off because they don't feel the pain.
Yikes.
They push too hard. They get around things that are too hot. They expose things too cold because they don't feel pain. You would think not feeling pain would be a great thing. It's the worst thing. Feeling pain is what will make you live a very long time. Now, hopefully you don't just live in pain. There's a negative side of that. But without pain, you don't know where the lines are.
Well, that's the...
And we try our best in our country to remove emotional pain, and then we wonder why we have such a moral disaster. There needs to be... So you preachers who, you know, they even listen to the show, but they... You go out of your way trying to make everybody feel good. Stop it.
We hear from so many people that I wanted to be different. I wanted to be different, but I don't want to make them feel bad.
Yeah.
You can't have it both ways.
When you approach your thing and at the end you say, but I don't want him to feel bad, then you're clueless.
You're probably never going to get the change.
You're never going to get the change you want.
If that's the way you always think. You never,
I tell you what, when I'm taking off my wife, she wants me to feel bad.
Because that will motivate you to change.
That changes me. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. Yep. Good grief. You get to the point where nobody feels bad about anything? No wonder y'all are getting divorced 30 different times. No wonder this guy's been through all this over and over and over again. You Christians in and out of relations and stuff. You've so seared your conscience, you don't feel bad about anything. You guys love Jesus. We love Jesus. We're having sex with 47 different men, but we just praise God. Hallelujah. These are people, they don't feel bad about anything.
No.
They're a disaster. No.
In my life, the greatest changes have come about because of some of the greatest pain that I was allowed to feel.
I agree. I mean, after I do this show, the pain that it causes me causes great life change.
Mm-hmm.
That's the positive thing about listening to this show. You listen to the show, you feel awful. That's what we're trying to do.
But not to do.
Hopefully, it'll make you feel bad enough to change you. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. This subject line says female obsession, so I figured it was something that you two boys could tackle.
Is it a guy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He says, I've noticed in my Christian life of about 32 years, I guess being a Christian for 32 years, mm-hmm. that there seems to be a high level of occurrence of infidelity of pastors who seem to worship females, that kind of pastor that on Mother's Day just falls all over women and how they are near God-like because they're female.
I hate that.
I started to notice that of Christian brothers that complain that their pastor just goes on and on and on about how great and close to God women are, and just because they're female, that it seems to be not too long before I'm hearing that that said pastor was caught in an affair or some other sexual problem.
He's wondering
if it's the precursor.
I've never thought of that.
I never have either.
I'll tell you, in my personal life,
Feigning and doting from the pulpit?
The guys I know who just have feigned all over women and just they're so perfect and
so
men need to be more like women.
That.
The guys, they did commit adultery. They did go and commit adultery. Now, that might just be a random occurrence.
Yes, I know some that have and I know some that haven't. So I know both sides of it.
I don't know if you can tie that for sure.
But he's wondering if there's some sort of a connection.
Oh, I don't know. It's interesting.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you do know some that have just, women are the holy ground they walk upon.
Dude, you know it's not this show because I'm always taking it back to the garden trying to place blame. I'm just saying.
For Ross, everything goes back to the garden.
It's all because the woman started it all.
In Ross's mind, everything, global warming is a woman's fault.
It is, especially when you're like spontaneously combusting.
Mm-hmm. Global warming, all of the wars in the world.
All these menopausal women, that's what's causing global warming, for heaven's sake.
Everything on this planet is
so we're good on
fault.
This show.
Ross likes that as long as she takes the fall. We'll take
a break. We'll come back and see who else we can make feel really terrible right after this.
Mark Gunger. Yeah, we've got an app for that. Download your free Mark Gunger app today.
Back on the Mark Gunger Show. Does that camera have a tape? On that? Oh, cards. Nobody has tape anymore, huh? I guess some people do. But yeah. Anyway, you're listening to the Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships, answering your emails, and insulting people in general. What do you have?
Okay, this is a very cerebral and very heady question.
I am a cerebral kind of guy.
Listen very carefully.
You know why we get questions like that? People just look at me and think, there is a cerebral guy.
See if you
because a lot of your cerebral frontal area
it's
is
there's no
showing.
Hair. Yeah. that's why people go bald is because they're guys like me. Our brains
get just a matter. It pushes it all out.
They grow so it pushes all the hair out because
that's why women have a lot of hair. I'm sorry. I'm trying to address this other guy's email saying that guys that feign over women, you know, apparently are gonna right before the fall. You know,
and
I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. Please
deny the He-Man Woman Haters Club membership over here. Anyhow, it's about spiritual headship versus leadership.
Okay.
That's what it says.
All right.
I have heard and agree with your basic rant against the single married person's notion of spiritual headship. Okay. You know, that the husband's the spiritual.
Has to be the one doing everything spiritual in the house. Okay.
My question is, if you assert that the man is the head of the household mm-hmm. and look as leadership with a sense of trailblazing, i.e. doing, now track with me please, not what I say, but what I do, then when Paul says to love your wives toward the end that he might sanctify her by the washing of water with the word, he wants to know, is Paul talking about the life of example peppered with speech and encouragement? I'm telling
you,
you
have to,
because it's so funny the way that he's writing this.
He's a smart guy.
My thought is that if as a husband I war against my fleshiness and encourage my wife to do the same by both example and word, am I not loving her as Christ did the church? Jesus lived the perfect life, totally devoted to his Father, speaking the truth in love, curbing Satan's influence in the world. Granted, I'm not Jesus, nor am I perfect, neither
what?
Totally devoted to God. Therefore, my main battle is with the influence of sin in my life and its effects in the world around me and my family. Hence, the leading in sanctification, not the do as I say woman, but the watch and learn kind of leading. Is that right? He wants to know.
I like
is that
this
right?
Guy.
Oh, the better leaders are the ones that are not hypocrites, of course. I mean, that's
not just say it and not live it out.
You know, don't cuss, and then you walk around cussing all day long. I mean, that's not even a question. I mean, it's self. I will jump on one thing here mm-hmm. That a lot of people do, and I guess we can argue about it, but he said that we're supposed to sanctify the wife by
the washing.
That's not what the Bible says. Let me read you.
We've heard that before,
but it's not what it says. Mm-hmm. They say it all the time.
Yeah.
It says, "Husband, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." And it describes what Christ does to make her holy. Talking about the church, cleansing her by the washing of water through the word to present to himself a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blame. I mean, this is what Jesus does. Okay.
But there's a weird train of thinking out there says husbands are supposed to sanctify their wives.
It says in the same way husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. In other words, you love it like yourself, but we don't sanctify the wife. Jesus does that. He does that to all of us. There's nowhere here that says a man is literally responsible for sanctifying his wife through the washing of the water of the word. Yeah, that's what the Bible. No one doesn't read it. The problem with these people, they don't know how to read English, for heaven's sake.
Well, the way they read it, that's what they
think
it's saying.
That's not what it says.
Though.
Jesus, okay, that's like saying, you need to love your wife like a fireman would love someone who goes into the fire and protects them and pulls them out of the fire. That's the analogy. Someone who sacrifices their life, like the guys at 9/11 who ran in to say, that's what I meant. So that doesn't mean that, I'm supposed to take my wife and throw her in a building on fire and pull her out, because that's what it says. I'm supposed to love it like a fire. He's just using the analogy. Jesus so loved the world. This is what he does for us, okay? Now, in the same way, you should love your wife as you love your own body. Just using the analogy that Christ loves us, we're supposed to love. But you're not responsible for sanctifying your wife. Again, these are the people who over-spiritualize everything. Those guys who literally believe the Bible teaches that it is a husband's responsibility to do the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in their wives. You guys are crazy. That is not what it says. You need to love your wife like a soldier would throw himself on a hand grenade to protect his buddies. That's how you should love your family. That's that kind of thing.
Right.
That doesn't mean you take a hand grenade and go jump on it and get blown to bits. It's just an analogy. You nimrods. Anyway, you can't reason with these people. Now, hopefully this guy you can reason with, but they overspirit. You know, apparently marriage is not hard enough. It's not challenging enough that we Christians have to make it harder. Apparently just living with a woman and not going insane, living with a man and not killing him in his sleep, apparently that's not so free of challenge that we need to add to it. Now we have to be responsible for their spiritual sanctification and all this other. Good grief.
I think when they think that way, though, that they believe they're making marriage easier or better, because if you get all the spiritual stuff into it, that then it'll be easier because you're doing what God says you're supposed
like
to be doing.
Oh, it's like the latest rant among some evangelical Christians. You know, I really think these guys, they're bored and they don't know what else to say, so they keep coming up with stuff.
Have to have something new.
Yeah, so the new thing is spiritual intimacy. If you're going to really have a great Christian marriage. So they had these guys on television and Christian radio shows and writing these books and stuff, you know, about spiritual intimacy. And all you goofy chicks run out there and you buy these things about spiritual. Then you're more mad at your husband now, because not only are you not getting physical intimacy and emotional intimacy, now you're not getting spiritual. They make it worse.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, physical and emotional intimacy is so easy. There's no challenge there that we now need to add to the problem by Christians saying, well, now we need to have spiritual intimacy. I don't even know what they're talking about. For heaven's sakes. Anyway, the Bible does not say a man is responsible for the spiritual sanctification of his wife. Go read it again. If that's your conclusion, I just assume you don't know how to put sentence structure together. That's their problem. Ignorant people. Obviously, you can't blame them. They had a public education in America, and apparently that stinks anymore because people can't even read. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Attend Mark's Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage event. Visit laughyourway.com for upcoming dates and locations.
You're back on the Mark Unger Show talking about love, marriage, and relationships, dealing with this whole thing about spirituality and how people over-spiritualize and they take things out of context in the Bible, where Paul says a man should love his wife like Christ loved the church. And then he describes how Christ loved the church about washing her in the water of the word and stuff. And then they consume that the man's supposed to is responsible for washing his wife in the water of the word. No, we're not. It's just what Jesus said. And he writes, he says, this is a profound mystery. And then he says, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you should love your wife as he loves himself. He's trying to draw the distinction. Look, I'm talking about Christ and the church, okay? But then when it comes to your marriage, there's no way a man is responsible for this kind of spiritual intimacy or whatever the heck these people are talking about. It's not what the Bible says.
I can't even get my brain to understand this. I hear this and it's like wah, wah, wah in my head because it's not literally, it's not making sense. And I can't even pin it to anything or
you,
understand it when they talk like this.
I'm being mean because that's what I do. But it's literally, they don't know how to read. They don't understand sentence structure. They don't know when one thing describes the action of another. They don't know where the adjectives belong and what the subject matter of the church, of the sentence. Mm-hmm. They're literally not that smart, some of these guys. So when they read the Bible, they kind of jumbles together and they make these ridiculous conclusions because they don't know how to read a sentence. The one thing that's referring to something here, and it's not saying that you're responsible
Subjects
for this.
Subjects and predicates, people.
We need you're a teacher.
Yes.
We need to start having lessons on sentence. What do you call that when they...
Diagramming sentences.
Diagramming sentences.
I'm out of here, though.
Class!
I'm out.
Class, we're going to diagram sentences today so you can understand what belongs to where. Well, and then it'll make more sense to you when you read the Bible.
And you can tell when people write in and I'm trying to decipher what the way they write is the same way because you don't know what you're saying this. Are you talking about this? Are you talking about that? That it's very rambling. And then when I have to ask for clarification, it's like, oh, you know, the way you wrote this, it sounded like you were associating two things together that don't belong together. So they can't read it and understand it, nor can they write it.
I'm not trying to be mean. I mean naturally.
It's the truth. It's the truth.
It's a gift. It flows. Meanness flows out of me. It's a gift. Some people just have it and some don't. I'm not trying. I'm being serious. A lot of times I'm exaggerating stuff to make points, which a lot of people, if they don't get that, they really hate the show. But I'm serious. There's people, they don't know how to write, and they don't know how to read.
Yes.
And if you weren't paying attention, a lot of people didn't. I get it. Mm-hmm. But if you don't know how to write and how to read, that's how people come up with these ridiculous conclusions when they read the Bible. And then some speaker gets up and he didn't know how to write or read himself. And he starts making these connections. Mm-hmm. I mean, he doesn't even know what he's talking about. And then people, I guess I should read the Bible. That's not what the Bible says. You know, when someone tells you the Bible says something, go read it for yourself. See if it actually says that. You'll be surprised how often it does not say what some of these guys think it says.
And there's all these things that people think are in the Bible, like, God helps those who help themselves.
It's not even
in the Bible. But people repeat those kinds of things over and over and over again. And think that it's in the Bible when it's truly not.
All kinds of things. You know, like the three wise men. The Bible talks about the three wise men. No, it doesn't. It doesn't say how many wise men there were. It just says there were wise men. Could have been 25 for all we know. But if you were to ask people, that's what they would say. All kinds of things. And you're right. And people, and that's when the danger of writing this show is a lot of people, they don't know how to write. And it's kind of hard to understand what they're talking about. Anyway, it is what it is. We can't fix that. It's an educational problem, but it creates other problems. Anyway, all right, what do you got?
Okay.
Do you know that people used to be really big on education? Mm-hmm. And now they're spending most of their time talking about you know, saving the whales and all the politically correct nonsense. And these teachers, I mean, we're spending a gazillion dollars in education. It's amazing how many people just can't read. Mm-hmm. So, well, we need more money for our education. Really? How much money does it take? What are you doing?
How come we're getting it so wrong now?
Well, I don't understand. Who
generations
cares?
Ago,
well, we got this, and we got. How about you stop everything and just work on reading? Get them to read. Mm-hmm. Just work on reading. Why does it? Why do you have to have this and this and this and all these different?
Just, why were we so successful generations ago when there was less money going into the public school system?
Because they focused on the basics.
Yes. Math.
Reading, writing, arithmetic. That's what they did.
They didn't have all the extracurriculars
don't
and
know,
this and that.
Because I'm not involved in it. You are. You were. Mm-hmm. What are they doing?
A lot of extra, I mean, a lot of money goes to, well, technology for one thing, but they have to gobs of money on public transportation to get these kids to school and the insurances. It didn't used to be that. You didn't have to do all of that stuff back in the day.
What are they doing in the classroom? How can
I thought you wanted to know what they were spending the money on.
No, how can you have these kids for... How many hours every day?
Well, because they're teaching them sex ed and they're teaching them AODA, you know, about drugs and alcohol and abuse. They're teaching them about all the technology
global
stuff.
Global warming,
recycling,
and
there's all of these things that nobody ever used to have to teach them.
Are they not aware that, you know, these guys can't read?
No, they're teaching them all these other things that are more important.
That's just stunning to me. I don't know.
I know. I'm sorry if any of my teacher friends are listening to me rail against something that I used to do.
Well, you can't point to any one person, but it's a systematic problem. And then you try and change it. Teachers' unions have a cow. They just go crazy. You're trying to change it. Yeah, just good grief. I don't understand it. So we have people today, and it's difficult when you're trying to have people read the Bible when they honestly cannot read. So I will say this, though. I know people who have actually taught themselves to read by reading the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just pay
that's how they used to learn to read.
This isn't that complicated. Look at it. Look at it again. What is he talking about? What does this sentence mean? Who's it connected to? And if you don't know, ask somebody. Don't make some of these ridiculous assumptions that everybody's throwing on top of people. It's not hard enough to be a husband. Now I'm responsible to spiritually wash my wife? Seriously? All right. See ya.
Bye-bye, boy.
Have fun storming the castle.